Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, the co-chairman of the IBM Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us on the web at www.businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Cam Finley. Cam's the Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Labor. Good morning, Cam.
Good morning.
And joining us in our conversation is Fred Fragersham. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
Well, Cam, let's start by talking about the mission and responsibilities of the department. Can you give us an overview?
The Department of Labor is the principal government agency that is involved with protecting workers in the workplace. We have several agencies within the department, such as the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, which is known as OSHA, the Mine Safety and Health Administration, the Office of Labor Management Standards, which regulates the relationship between union members and their unions, and the Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs, or OFCCP, which governs workplace or prevents workplace discrimination. And so it has this worker protection focus. We have several agencies. We also are the federal agency which protects your employee benefits, your health care benefits if you're in the private sector, or your pension benefits. We regulate those under a law called ERISA. We operate about $11 billion worth of job training and employment service programs to help get dislocated people back to work. And then finally, we operate the $45 billion a year unemployment insurance system, which helps people when they are between jobs.
And how about sort of an, you described some dollar numbers, the sort of size of the budget and the number of people in the department?
We have about 17,000 employees at 570-plus locations around the country. Our budget varies considerably year to year because it's dependent quite a bit on the unemployment rate. The budget last year, I believe, ended up being about $70 billion because the unemployment rate was relatively high. The proposed budget for fiscal year 2004, which we'll be submitting, or which we've just submitted, is for about $56 billion. And that's not because we're cutting $14 billion out of our budget. It's just because of projections as to what the unemployment rate will be mean that there'll be fewer unemployment benefits paid.
You described a wide range of activities going on in the department. Could you give us a sense of the types of skills the employees have?
We have a very highly skilled and well-educated workforce. We have agencies like the Bureau of Labor Statistics, which is composed of economics and statisticians. We have what used to be called the Pension and Welfare Benefits Administration, is now called the Employee Benefits Security Administration. This is the agency that protects your pensions and health benefits. And that is composed of a lot of actuaries and highly trained professionals as well. And then, of course, our OSHA inspectors, our inspectors in the Office of Labor Management Standards, and our inspectors in the Wage and Hour Division, which I didn't mention before, which regulates wages and overtime and things like that. Those tend to be law enforcement types that get out there in the field and protect workers.
What are your responsibilities and duties as the Deputy Secretary?
The job of Deputy Secretary is always a slightly undefined one because it depends somewhat on the relationship with the Secretary. And I feel like I have a very good relationship with the Secretary, and I spend a lot of time dealing with the boring day-to-day issues that we don't want to trouble her with. But I think formally my role is to run the budget process. As I said, we have a budget in the tens of billions of dollars, and we begin putting that budget together in the early summer, and we submit it to OMB in the fall, and then work with OMB from the fall to the introduction of the budget in February. I am in charge of our regulatory process at our department. We have a body that we call the Policy Planning Board that is all of our agency heads, and we bring them together once a week, and every regulation that comes through the department, every major new policy initiative has to come through this Policy Planning Board. And I chair that board along with our Assistant Secretary for Policy. And then I think broadly, I guess I'm in charge of the management of the department. I am the person that is supposed to be watching over the implementation of the president's management agenda, issues like financial management, competitive sourcing, human capital, e-government, those sorts of issues.
As a deputy secretary, you are also a member of the president's management council. Could you tell us about the council and your role within the council?
Yes, this council was an innovation of President Bush, who it's often been said is the first MBA president. And it brings together all of the chief operating officers of all of the departments and smaller agencies throughout the government. And it's a forum to exchange best practices amongst each other on management issues, to press for management changes on things like e-government and program evaluation and financial management. And it's really been a great catalyst for this administration to take management issues very seriously. As to my own role on the council, I'm one of probably 20 or 30 COOs on the council, but I happen to chair the e-government committee of the President's Management Council. And what we've tried to do with this committee is to bring some focus and coherence to all of the vast amounts of IT spending and planning that are going on throughout the federal government. In particular, there are 24 eGov initiatives, things like govbenefits.gov, which is one site where you can go and look up all the benefits that might be applicable to you. There's a recreation.gov where you can register to stay at a lodge in Yellowstone, or you can get a permit for some other federal facility someplace else in the country. We have these 24 e-government initiatives, and it frankly was kind of a hodgepodge at the beginning because they were all off doing their own thing. They were being forced to beg departments for money and to plead with departments to shut down duplicative investments. And so this committee was formed in order to bring some order to this process.
Well, just to kind of follow up on that, how would they do that? As I understand it, they have no real authority to do the kind of thing. So how would actually some of those things get done?
All we've got is moral suasion backed up by the president's great desire to see this work. It was tricky at the beginning because what happened was that OMBs in past years would approve budgets, and they would say to, say, the Department of Veterans Affairs, here's your X million dollars for a project to do this particular this IT investment. And then after we set up the e-government initiative that was supposed to, say, put all government benefits on the same site, we were in the position of OMB having to go back to the Department of Veterans Affairs and saying, oh, you thought that was your money. It's actually money we're going to use for this eGov initiative. So please give us the money back. And oh, by the way, please stop the spending that you were planning to do. And you can imagine that that caused a lot of friction amongst agencies and between the agencies and OMB. So what we've tried to do is to get all the involved parties in a room together and agree that a cross-agency project is a good one, and then agree as a President's Management Council on how it's going to be funded and how we're going to shut down duplicative investments. And so far, it's actually worked pretty well. It is still a work in progress, and I would be lying if I said that it's been absolutely smooth sailing, but I think the formation of this e-government committee has made a big difference.
Tell us about your career prior to coming to the department.
Well, I graduated from law school in 1987, and I came to Washington to clerk for a judge at the D.C. Circuit, and then I did a second clerkship at the Supreme Court. And when I came off that clerkship, all of my colleagues were going off to law firms, and I decided I wanted to enter public service. So I went to work as the special assistant to the Secretary of Transportation, who at that time was a guy named Sam Skinner. I was in that job, or actually I became counselor to the secretary. And then in 1991, Sam Skinner was named White House Chief of Staff, and I went over with him to the White House as deputy assistant to the president and counselor to the chief of staff, thereby proving the rule that the longer your title, the less important your job. I was at the White House through the very difficult year of 1992 when we were trying to get President Bush reelected, and then, like everyone else that worked at the White House, had to look for a job in the private sector in 1992. So I had been trained as a lawyer, and I went back to Chicago and went to work at the law firm of Sidley and Austin and spent almost 9 years there until I got the call to come out and be Deputy Secretary of Labor.
That's great. Well, it's time for a break. We'll stop on that point. Stick with us through the break and come back as we continue our conversation with Cam Finley of the U.S. Department of Labor. What are the different programs at the department? How are they changing? We'll ask Cam to tell us about these programs when the Business of Government Hour continues.